Man is the highest in all creation. It's spoken of very highly by all scriptures. All saying that because this is the highest, because we can do work which cannot be done in any other body. That is, we can know ourselves and know God.
And this is the Master's path?
Yes.
On the path to higher consciousness?
Yes.
Okay. Our program is called On the Path to Higher Consciousness. It's a series produced by the Siddhartha Foundation for the Study of Higher Consciousness in Waltham, Massachusetts. On these programs, we explore the dimensions of man and his spirit in the New Age. My name is J. Richard Turner, and our guest today is Sant Kirpal Singh. Kirpal Singh, what is the Master's path on the path to higher consciousness?
Master's path on the higher consciousness is to first to know about his own self as a conscious being, soul in the top of the ocean of all consciousness. Unless one knows himself, as all masters in the past told us, man knows thyself, who we are, what we are. We are conscious entities, having man body, the highest in all creation. In this it is possible to know oneself. Unless one man knows himself, he can know the higher consciousness. So this is a practical subject for which demonstration is given first, to know oneself. How to know oneself? It is one matter of not at the level of feelings or emotions or drawing inferences. It is purely a subject of self-analysis, knowing oneself and knowing God. Higher consciousness can only be experienced or risen into, I would say, if our own consciousness is first all divided of all outer coverings. So it is a matter of your self-analysis, how to rise above body consciousness. This is a demonstration of which is given by all masters who came in the past. Even now they are giving. So when man rises above body consciousness practically, he knows some power is controlling us in the body. So man body is the true temple of God in which we reside, as well as that higher power that controls us in the body also resides. There are so many apertures in the man body, eyes, ears, nose, mouth, and two underneath, but we cannot run away out of it. Some power is controlling us in the body. That consciousness comes only first when we know ourselves by rising above body consciousness. That higher consciousness is had when we transcend into the beyond. To transcend into the beyond, that is, when our attention is withdrawn from all outside and from the body below, and rise up to the feet of the throat, of the soul in the body, which is at the back of the two eyebrows. When he is there, just as it, St. Plutarch says, a man who is initiated into the mystery of the beyond, the soul has the same experience of leaving the body as it has at the time of death. It is not matter only. Visualization or feelings or drawing inferences is a matter of pure self-analysis, rising over body consciousness, and to know oneself that he is the man who is driving, who is living the whole man body below, and who also enables us to know the world outside. So this is the first step that the Master given always to be done. Now when you know yourself, you see that power controls all consciousness. It is a drop in the ocean of all consciousness. But their macrocosm is in the microcosm. So we have got bodies in different planes to work in those, enable us to work in those planes. Physical body, we have got physical, we have got conscious. When rise into, then we have got the astral body to work in the astral plane. Again, we have to rise further, we have got the causal body to work in the causal plane. And transcend all these three, rise into the spiritual planes, which is a whole consciousness. Up to three planes, it is not all consciousness, it is a mixture of matters of different grades. So two consciousness rises when man rises above physical body, astral body, causal body. When he is there, he sees that it is just like a drop of water, it is just mixed with another puddle of water. That is matter to be experienced, cannot be expressed in words. Man consciousness can experience up to first, second, third plane, beyond it is only going into or entering into a higher consciousness to lose outer identity. That higher consciousness can be expressed in words. Even only feelings in the worldly way we can express in words, how can that consciousness, which is all consciousness, can be expressed in words? This is only an intellectual wrestling, I would say, we can come to some conclusion, what is that, what is not that. So, Master says, well, we are of course after higher consciousness, but higher consciousness we have in the, what you say, in the mind ramifications, in mind was physical, yeah, astrally, and causally also. That three states of mind, physical, astral, and causal. Unless it rises above all these minds, we cannot have true consciousness, but that consciousness cannot be expressed in words, can be experienced. Even to rise above body consciousness, this is the thing to be experienced. This experience can be given by a demonstration by someone. Master power, who is competent, who rises above body consciousness day to day, at will and pleasure, and can give demonstration of that to others who come to him for that purpose. So first step is on the way to higher consciousness, is to know oneself, to know conscious self, because it is me who am in the whole body here, physical body, also in the work of the astral color, when these, all these coverings are taken off, it rises into all consciousness, nothing to be expressed in words. People try to give some account of the natural inferences, but when it all rises into one mass, to whom to speak? They really say that I see all consciousness, it means you have not seen it, because it explains it at the level of one himself. If he sees the water mixing into the river, then how can he see this is river of the oneself? So all consciousness cannot be explained word. This only drawing inferences. Our intellectual wrestling, we can give something, this is that, this is that. But that state is not, cannot be explained in words, only experiences. Even ourselves, when we rise our physical body, that cannot be explained in words here. It is just to be born anew. You must be reborn. Or this ABC starts from when we learn to die, then it's in ourselves, that's the first step towards higher consciousness. When there are further steps in the astral plane too, causal plane too, and all these things, when we rise into the spiritual plane, so we can get well, though by reference are given, but all scriptures, they say so.
Kirpa Funji, how does one become acquainted with his master?
The outer thing is born the same as all other men are born, with the same privilege from God. Outer inner constitution same, the only thing is when a man gets a degree, a PhD, how can you recognize him? You recognize only when you sit by him and see day to day, well, he is above all. So, only criterion that we can have, as given by all masters, is he should be able to raise you above body consciousness, physical at least, by giving a demonstration. If you can give that God is light, when you rise above body consciousness, your single eye is open. When single eye is open, you see, it is all dark, it's all that you see is all light. So this is who can give you something on the start of it. It is some capital to start with. This is the only criterion you can have. And moreover, by coming in His presence, you see your mind is clear for a while. Oh. This is what I have come to, and by parallel study of religion and personal experience, But about others, you see, each one has his own scope. They say so, Jyoti, Jyayas, but the only thing when you take this subject as a matter intellectually, how can that be? Because until the mind is controlled, how do that is correct? Mind and intellect also ceases for a while. Only then this our own consciousness comes up. What to speak of that consciousness? So others are unaware. This how I take it. You doesn't. What are they? Some have recourse to psychology, relax. Others only give you by some, what you say, by treatment like that for a while, little light, but that is no light. Light is only without touching hand. He should raise you up above body consciousness and remove the darkness from before your eyes. And Master said, don't believe the words of the Master unless you see it for your own self what is what. That you bear testimony to it. So this is the criterion now. The Master, there's no outer bag but by his presence you'll find radiation. And what is that's the first thing the outer thing is, he will be able to give you a demonstration as to how to rise above body consciousness. Open the single eyes, see. For yourself there's light.
What was your experience, your feeling, many, many decades ago when you met your Master?
Yes.
Did you experience something very special, and do you still feel that feeling?
I was in touch. Man who is in charge, you do everything, my tall, read all scriptures. There were very sweet stories of the beyond, I did find, but how to have it, that was not possible. So it was a matter of pure self-analysis. So I prayed, God, oh God, is there anybody? After God works through somebody, demand and supply is in law of nature. Is there anybody, somebody, you must manifest. How can you see with the blind man? How can you recognize the man in life? So God, one form appeared to me in my meditations. I took him as Guru Nanak. I was just seeing with him in the beyond too, in the days of Mesopotamian war. Then after all, about 7 years after, I physically met him. When he found me, he was the same. I could find out why it was all delayed, why it was the opportune time. So when he met me, you see, he gave me demonstration. All labors, all efforts were done away with. Now the ABC starts from there. With word philosophy and gradually start. You know, there's a prayer, oh God, I'm grateful to you for you kept this secret from the worldly wise and given to the base.
Your work in India,
yes,
is very much based on the work of your Master, isn't it? The center which you have built,
yes,
in India is built on the principles which your Master taught to you.
No, I tell you, whatever my Master told me, that is the basic teachings of all Masters who came this far. That's a parallel study of all scriptures. And given the book in which I have given quotations from all scriptures, East and West, the basic teachings have been the same all through, in a way have not been too. Of course, when time later on, for want of practical people, they have to regard to certain scopes separately. There are so many yoga, but each yoga has its own scope. This is natural yoga, which gives you a contact with the God into space and power direct by raising your body consciousness, and you see it is that. So the sun, you see the ray of the sun. You can go on the ray, you reach the sun. So God, when he wanted and wanted and wished to be vanished, it came into expression, there was vibration. And vibration is also two things, light and sound. So light and sound is the yoga of the attention. When it is contacted, when you rise above body consciousness, that is the power which is keeping us in the body and controlling all creation. So we come to know that when rise above body consciousness, Arimanath itself, Arimanath says, when matter of God nowhere in his room, and he was at death bed, his child came up, he was going to read, God is and no deity God and no W now we are here. God is now here. He asked my child, I see some power control. So this can be realized when you, at the time of death, rise above body consciousness, or even now, you become some power control. This is the physical color which that is taken on, and the astral color, the causal color, and the super color. Beyond that, there's the true Amihoma for Father. The all masters have referred to it, and even beyond, ineffable and just going into the God absolute. Guru Nanak has referred, all others have referred to it. Says, all saints rise above the highest super causal line, and further ineffable and sweet into the God which is absolute, absorbing them. He says, Guru Nanak rejects them. All other saints are alike. So these are, this is about those who have gone to the highest. Others are just step. Some have risen up to the physical. They give only some mesmerism, some hypnotism, some psychologists give psychology. By trick of the pen, your fingers, they give something. That's all we do different to all. Some have access into the first astral plane. They can give you right to that. Second plane, he says, access, master will give you up to that stage. Up to third, like that. Unless you meet the highest master, the ultimate goal of the absolute, reaching into, driving to the ground, so their stages go. All masters by parallel study you find, they have their stages. Shankara and others, you see, they define it all conscience. Then they turn up again that God is the expression power is what is wanted. And that is manifest in man. Shankara, no, he believed in the absolute God, is all God, there is no soul. Then he came to a little allowance he made, yes, there is soul. And the next man who followed him, he absolutely descended. Well, God absolutely cannot be this. We are not that. So they're covering up, you see, they're covering on the body. They're, this is one covering like of the prana and ananya kosha is also a covering, you see. Jnana kosha is a covering too. But jnana kosha is a covering, not the absolute. So rise into absolute 12, nobody's only reference and finish. Even the all conscious cannot be expressed in words. To the best I know, I have come to know. And by the adversary of religious too. So all conscious we can only infer by intellectual wrestling, that's all. And the masters of the higher order say, what? Oh man, seekers after God, you have just forgotten the God by intellectual wrestling. So as a matter of inference to draw, see and then say that is some sinner, Christ, another said, we see, and we say, and we are testimony to it. This all of the masters say. Guru Nanak said, I speak as I'm inspired by God. Sometimes people speak on the subconscious level. The subconscious level, what it is? It is experience of all past births. From that level they can talk. But if he has risen to the all conscious level, those words can only be. Nothing can be said. People simply say, just say water is poured into another vessel, it becomes water. So this is a matter, to me it is inexpressible, and what I do, I have seen by fair study of religion, to go into the actual God, who can know? Nobody. Nobody is in God and India. God into spiritual power, of course we had experience of that. That also according to the covers you are shaken off. By shaking your physical body, you rise from constitution. And then the astral body is shaken off the still. So, causal body to shake is very difficult. That is the mental plane, my man. Little thought will bring a new world. It is only masters alone there. Absorb his whole attention in the light of constitution, take a third one. So, it's very difficult inside. But anyhow, we do different to all, but as they come to, people are deriving benefits, that's all right. Because you ask about the all consciousness, so I give you something, but I have come to.
What part does the initiation play in this reaching of a new consciousness?
The first part is to rise over, know oneself. One is conscious entity. Is that recovering? You see, three covenants are co-physical, as in color. But when the lamp is burning, there are three, four coverings, you shake off one, you see some light. When all colors are no light, then you shake out the other, there's more light. Then you shake out that, there's still more light. So all religions, you see, teach like that. Religion means the word, not social body. I mean, to say religion is bad religion to bind. Yes? Though you have gone up like that, they see what is like. Also God is like. In Lord Krishna also, everybody, by parallel study of religion at home, they all the basic teachings have been the same of all. So long as the people gave up there, the people derived full benefit of that. When they left the scene that to keep their teachings alive, all the social bodies of schools all came to be. So long as practical people were there of different degrees, and it's referred to Shankar and the second and after it, so they didn't know. So Master do come from time to time to revive all this, their testimony also. But all that was so quick, you know, the man who flies in the air, only the other man who flies here will know what he is.
On the path to higher consciousness,
yes.
What part does the initiation ceremony play?
Demonstration. No ceremony, no offering, no flowers. Only like a school. Given a sitting, little attention, give a boost, they will draw from outside and see light. They will attach them this way. No ceremony, no gift, nothing else. It is a gift of nature, you see. All gifts of nature are free. Air, water, sun. The sun who gives all nature, why should it pay for it?
Much of your work in India,
yes,
is in your center, which you built there.
No, also India. Also India, in Pakistan too. Also India, I've got about 30 centers there, 40 centers. Here, also outside, about 120 or more than that centers in India.
What is the main work that you do at those centers?
Main work is usually give them some bread of life to the soul. Physically people give it, intellectually give it. I'm not against it, that's the first step. But what food is going to do to the soul? Soul is conscious entity. The bread of life and the water of life can only be conscious. And the higher conscience is already controlling us in this body. When it rises above, to give a contact with that is the initiation. To draw all attention from outside, raise up the body consciousness and come to the seat of the soul in the body, which is at the back, and then transcend into the beyond. It's just sun rising this way, setting this way, rising this way. Those are daily practice they do, they rise. For them, the death is a matter of guise. Yeah. So God sends all, He chooses that where He manifests, He carries on the mission of God. Moreover, you find one thing. All those came here, most of them, these people began to, God sent them to know the people, there is God, who is the maker of all creation. He should be worshipped. But many will find all worship those messengers who came here. So messengers say carefully, I am not God, we are the messengers of God. God has sent me, Father has sent me. You see, I come to you. There is your God. But only you say we respect all other incarnations who came, who never take the name of God.
Can you envision for us the future for mankind, the spiritual life of man?
Yes. We, that's awakening coming up, you see? Coming up, he said, with both. Men are fed up with their outer ways of, you see, ritualism and other things. They're very unhappy. Awakening rising about, you see? In the East and West too. And golden age will come from iron age, not far from heaven or actually. Now people are new. See how what they have done, so unless they get something to say. We say God is light. Everybody says. But I have seen light. Then whatever say God is, I mean, we have written all creation. Have you seen? If not, then what is compared to? Like implantments in the body, right? And that you see, of course, whatever you perform in the way of knowing God, they are good actions. They have showed good results. But all the things, the doership is there. Unless the doership is there, then as you sow, so shall you reap. Unless you become conscious co-worker of the divine plan, then say, he is the doer, I am not the doer. You lose all ego, then who will reap it? The seed you have sown. They said to me, Lord of the Master. They said, see, and then say. And they make others see. What did Christ say? I have come to let those people see who do not see. These are the references given in the scriptures. For want of practical people, we are not able to write interpretation now. Guru Nanak said, they have entered within and they could not find the door. Christ also said, whatever you see, the old prophets wanted to see, they could not. Whatever you hear, prophet did not hear. You find in scripture all these things. The right interpretation of the scriptures can only be given by someone who has seen. So masters are favor of see and then say. There, I think from their level, all world is blind. Blind does not mean the terminology of the saints means not those who have got no eyes on the forehead, but those whose single eye is not open to see the light. Now you compare what you are doing. Now we made models of man outside temples, churches, don't shape and no shape other, put in light and symbols. Light is, I mean, sound principle, symbol of that and that. There's a model to show for the new man that such light, light is within you and such light sound is waiting within you. But for want of practical people, they are stuck to there. And for God, the two temples of God in which He is, we is that and also God is that. God forbid, if any pinnacle of any church or temple and is broken, well, we are ready to sacrifice all two temples of God in on this. For those whose eyes are not open, for the most chance, we have respect for them, for them to know what is what. So for want of practical people, poor fellows for what is this one? And God has been sending masters from time to time to revive the truth. And it is not new truth, it is old thing. This is the basic truth given by all masters in the past.
Dr. Paul Singhji, could you give us a brief meditation now so that our audience, as they're listening at home, could join with us?
So these meditations given every morning here in hundreds. Today I think about 600 people are there. Every time 500, 400, 1,000 also. That's every morning. Yeah. Everywhere where I go. That requires at least half an hour. Because we are not accustomed to it to be our attention of outside. This is quite practical. People have had their feeling. And they testify they have seen this and that. Not it is that one mesmerizes, that hypnotizes somebody to say all this is that. No, each man has his own experience.
What I was hoping that we might do is to have you just have our audience close their eyes for a few minutes and you could give them some thoughts to meditate on.
Well, I can tell you what I've been explaining every day, wherever I go. First thing is our physical body should be still. Because man body is the temple of God. In which we desire can also God control our desire. Outward expression of soul is attention. The attention when it is paid to the outgoing faculties work. The world also seems to live. But that when that attention is withdrawn from there, this is what is wanted to be done. So withdraw your attention from all outside. When a man is dying, you see, he doesn't recognize anybody who comes to him. When a man is absorbed some thought, somebody calls him once, twice, he does not hear. said, why are you not going to reply to my question? He says, I was involved in something else.
Good morning, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording we listened to was a radio interview given at the Beacon Street Motor Hotel on October 14, 1972, in Brookline, Massachusetts. Our reader this morning is Marcia Crosby.
Good morning, everyone. This reading is from Spiritual Elixir, Part 2, which is excerpts from the Master's letters to his disciples. And I'm starting with the chapter entitled Guru, His Need and Functions, and then I will continue with subsequent chapters. The Master Power overhead is always aware of his children's needs and yearnings, and he acts in their best interests. All errors must be weeded out one by one. And when the child disciple is doing his or her best to eradicate these errors, all necessary help comes from within. This effort may take a long time, but it must and will come about. And much earlier for those who are lovingly and faithfully devoted to the Master. The tongue of love is dumb. Words cannot express, but inadequately, what one feels in one's heart. Whatever they do express is but a poor caricature. You need not be afraid of what I wrote in my Christmas message. Each one of us should try to seek the pleasure of our Master, at whose feet we are working. My going is not imminent, but you need not be afraid. You are always on my mind. Master power will never leave you until the end of the world. The fire of separation that burns in the heart cannot be quenched by the tears that flow. As flowers precede the fruits on a tree, similarly, yearning and anguish of the heart precede the coming of the Master within. Each tear shed in sweet remembrance of the Master brings you closer to him. If you keep him in your mind, naturally you are in his mind. The Master's love for his children, who are all dear to him, never wanes. It is unfortunate when a child disciple shuts his or her heart, and this sweet heavenly love cannot flow in. A loving father would always be happy to see his children turn their faces to him and enjoy his grace. He can never be hard on anyone. His rope is, however, long, as he would not like to administer a hard knock to them. The Master extends guidance whenever needed, both in inner and outer spheres. Everyone is free to come up to him as a child would run to its father whenever in difficulty, and more so, he would run to the child's aid whenever necessary. I have received such glowing tributes for the gracious Master Power, which extends all loving protection to the departing souls. The episode of Dear Blank is a gesture of his grace when not only he, but others like Dear Blank saw the physical presence of the Master, escorting Mr. Blank to Sachkhand with a clear message for the mortals left behind. These are outstanding instances of his divine grace, which should serve as a beacon light for the newcomers and as a source of inspiration for the initiates to devote regular time to their spiritual practices. You will appreciate that the devoted and disciplined initiates not only better their own spiritual future, but become a source of inspiration for others to follow their example. It is not uncommon for a disciple to pass away in such a relaxed manner. a disciple gave clear indication to his family, stating that on the following day he would be going home. His family could not understand this, but when they knocked on his door for breakfast, they found that he had already left with a smile on his face. The doctors found that he had left some hours before without any difficulty whatsoever. Such is the gracious protection extended by the Master Power for his loving children, that they may leave this physical world fully satisfied, that they are granted full protection in the beyond. I am glad to find that your soul finds more peace when you meditate, and that you always see Master's smiling face in the light, and also the great eye of Master Sawan Singh Ji, which is a source of great peace, great comfort, and full of loving joy. Please try to put in more time for the spiritual practices, and when you see the form of the Master within, absorb your attention fully into his form, so much so that you forget yourself entirely. That will develop receptivity, and the Master will talk to you as one does outside. No perfect saint has ever failed. His disciples realize fully, this one will not fail you. Think deeply upon this privilege. A divine dispensation has been granted to you. Master is not the body. He is the power functioning through the body, and he is using his body to teach and guide man. This is Chapter 3, Karma, the Law of Action and Reaction. It is due to the evolution of past karma that persons with varying temperaments are blended into the sacred bonds of matrimony to clear off their mutual give and take. All efforts should be made to achieve a serene and peaceful life by being respectful to each other's viewpoints. Loving politeness, coupled with tolerance and trust, goes a long way in overcoming much of the trouble. You are beginning to learn that things in life happen according to plan. That plan is a direct result of reactions of one's own actions. It is therefore stressed that one should act lovingly and sweetly so that further reaction is properly channelized, side by side with the liquidation of prolonged destiny karmas. Regarding your physical difficulties, you know that all physical ailments are the result or reaction to past karma and must be borne willingly. Yet much of the severity and duration is toned down by the loving grace of the gracious Master Power working overhead. The barest minimum which cannot be dispensed should be borne gladly with the aid of the gracious protection of the Master. Yes, the philosophy of karma has a specific place in the science of the soul, but it should not induce morbidity or create a sense of frustration among the initiates and non-initiates. Man is the maker of his own destiny. Though one cannot alter the past, he may forge the future. Ups and downs do come as a result of the reaction of one's own actions, past and present. But they are passing phases. They will come whether one is agitated or remains calm and cool. Meditations in spiritual practices and surrender to the Master help to tone down their severity and duration, and will produce strength of will to combat difficulties cheerfully and calmly. The karmic debt of many an intricate nature is to be paid, and it is proper that it should be paid while in the physical frame, so that there is no stop on the way within. Sympathetic waves often draw the effects of the karma of one's partner in life. Moreover, wife's and husband's right or wrong love goes a long way to help or retard each other's progress in the spiritual uplift. This you witness in daily life. As regards karmas, you have discussed the matter in sufficient detail, but it is like arguing whether the tree was first or the seed. The more you will argue about the subject, the more you will find yourself confused. Karmic reaction is a circle, whether good or bad, from which there is no escape, except as indicated in the small pamphlet, Man Know Thyself. I would therefore advise you not to worry very much about the subject, but try to develop within, and you will see for yourself how the karmic cycle works. The why and the wherefore of all things will become clear as broad daylight when you rise into the causal plane. In your probation period, you develop within spiritually and act as directed, living a loving and ethical life, trying to be helpful to others as far as you can, and be selflessly devoted to your meditations. Karma and reincarnation are closely related. The question itself is so baffling that intellectuals having no knowledge of the beyond have tried to discuss it with their own limited intelligence. Just as spiritual knowledge cannot be achieved at the level of sense, similarly, this law of karma cannot be fully understood while living the life of the senses, or until one transcends into the causal plane. It is beyond the ken of human comprehension to know how the great law operates and controls the destiny of all the seen and unseen universe. The fundamental principle of as you sow, so shall you reap, and every action has its equally opposing reaction, works everywhere. Human birth is the highest rung in creation, and it is the golden opportunity for realization of the self and its reunion with the Lord over self. Those having been blessed with such a rare opportunity and are yet immersed in sensual pleasures, seeking enjoyment in eating and drinking, which are definitely considered animal desires and passions, naturally degrade themselves and will eventually ride through the giant cycle. Look to the animals who have their head downwards, as Providence has made them like that, and it does not matter if they feel inclined towards the lower pursuits, and it does not behoove man, the top of all creation, to stupidly cling fast to the pursuits of the lower impulses. Sense gratification is the greatest evil, which brings in its trail all the misery and sadness. The cyclic order of creation works and evolves automatically. The lower creation does not contract further karma, but reap the fruit of their past, and as such, though the dogs and horses seemingly possess reasoning, yet they are bound by the great law and are made to suffer in accordance with their own previous earnings. The apparent adverse circumstances which crop up as a reaction of past karma, on which this physical life is based, serve as a lever to raise the child disciple for spiritual growth and progress. It is his rare divine grace that you are blessed with the rare boon of right understanding when you see everything in its right perspective. A man is not what he appears to be. Everyone has his background of past karmas. Your past karmas have now ripened up, and the help is at hand. Food is for the hungry and water for the thirsty. The reactions of the past lives' karmas are bearing forth fruit, and what you have been so far is the result of all that. As you have read in the brief description about karmas in Man Know Thyself, the prolobed karma is not touched and must operate during the lifetime of a person. Their severity and duration, however, is toned down. If the prolobed karma were removed at the time of initiation, the initiate would have nothing to give or take, and therefore no reason to remain in this world. The other two kinds of karma are dissolved in the manner explained therein. This is the divine law. It is true that laws of nature are very rigid, and any transgression must be paid, though their severity is to a great extent toned down at the feet of a great master. Each one has to learn and cleanse one's own vessel before it is filled with the blessings of the master. There are no windfalls, although the labor bears more fruit in the house of the master. Your long search after truth has led you to the living master. It is due to the evolution of some rare good karma that one yearns for spiritual enlightenment, and Providence has his own immaculate ways in guiding the sincere seekers to the right quarters. Regarding expiatory sacrifices, etc., please pursue the chapter of karmas in the pamphlet Man Know Thyself. Jesus came to awaken the ignorant people of his time, but they would not believe him or his teachings of a higher life. Jesus pitied them and took the burden of the sins of many who came in contact with him on his own physical body through the law of sympathy. He was above body consciousness and allowed his physical body, which is always perishable, to be nailed to the cross, and he transcended spiritually to the higher planes. The people of the world who had their inner eye closed thought that Jesus was body only, while he was body plus mind plus soul or spirit, Christ power, talking through the selected and chosen pole of the physical body. The master power never dies and is ever existing with God. Jesus was the savior of his time. Those who followed the science given by him were saved. And even now the same law exists. A living master is needed. I trust everything is clear to you now. Anyone who contacts and talks to the master within can see Jesus Christ through him. It is due to the evolution of past karma that persons with varying temperaments are blended together in the sacred bonds of matrimony for the liquidation of their mutual give and take. It is incorrect to think that you have married a wrong person, as it is strictly in accordance with the divine plan that only destined people are married to each other for the karmic reasons. This present life is based chiefly on the reaction of past karma. Therefore, the vicissitudes that crop up are just passing phases for a better and joyous end under the gracious protection of the Master. The spiritual aspirants devoted humbly to their spiritual perfection under the gracious guidance of the living Master are blessed with the rare boon of general amnesty for their past karma. Otherwise, it would be abnormally difficult for them to withstand the strain. Only the barest minimum is to be borne by the disciplined devotees, which is invariably flavored with divine mercy. After initiation by a competent master, one is assured of getting to his or her true home. Those who, after initiation, fall back into a sinful and evil life are caught in worldly attachments, have to be reincarnated as human beings, so that the progress on the path may continue. Those who have a ruling passion for and faith in the Master and are doing spiritual practices and have left all attachments of the world are not to be reincarnated at all. Their souls are placed in the lower planes, where, with the help of the Master, they work their way to progress and eventually reach their true home. Usually, and ordinarily, an initiate would take 4 births to complete his or her course, but it can be shortened even to 1 birth, according to the degree of loving faith and obedience to the Master. The Master is always with the initiates, working over their heads, and he is not unaware of their longings and feelings. And he winds up their karmic load of debt so as to free them from the necessity of frequent human births. Chapter 4, Diet. It is good that you are observing strict dietary regulations, which is one of the basic prerequisites. You will appreciate that for obtaining a refined state of mind, one is required to adapt himself or herself to a refined, vegetarian, simple and nutritious diet for maintaining the physical body in a normal state. The gracious Master is now your constant companion within you, and with your earnest efforts and humble devotion, you will be able to find an approach to him within, to his radiant form. It is gratifying to note that your health is improving and that you have lost some weight. Useful combinations of fruit and vegetables coupled with a light physical exercise should help you to have a slim and smart physique. Regarding laxity in the prescribed diet, I wish to say to all aspirants on the path that it is necessary so long as one is in the physical body, vegetarianism should be strictly adhered to. Any relaxation in the matter of diet would not only be a definite hindrance in meditation, but would unnecessarily contract karmic reaction. The goal is to use every means possible to rise into full God consciousness. It is the moral duty of the housewife to cook the pure foods with her heart engrossed in sweet remembrance of the Lord. All food cooked in this manner, with the mind entrenched in the beloved and the hands engaged in the work, becomes a manna from heaven and proves a blessing to those who partake of it. It must be borne in mind that restriction to pure vegetarian diet is of utmost necessity. Any transgression in this respect is liable to affect your spiritual progress adversely. The prohibited food flares up carnal desires other than contracting karmic debt. Both are highly detrimental and should be avoided scrupulously. I hope you are abiding by all the rules and that you take my advice in proper perspective in the larger interests of your spiritual progress. You state that you are healthy now and the doctor advises you not to live on meat. You also state that while away on business, you have to oblige your friends by partaking some chicken. In this connection, I would like to remind you that the eating of liver and fish will definitely stand in the way of your spiritual progress without in any way helping you in your illness or in any way extending your lifespan. Thy days are numbered is a well-known aphorism. So why unnecessarily create karmic debts which you may easily avoid? You had better avoid these. It would be much better if you could influence your friend rather than be influenced by him. For you know of certain things of which he may be ignorant. So in such cases, behave lovingly with others and abstain from taking the prohibited foods. In this lies your benefit. You are correct in your idea to take very light evening meals, as this is most helpful to early morning meditation. Most initiates on the holy path have preferred to take very light meals for the evening, which should be taken early, before going to sleep. Swamiji has often stressed the importance of dispensing with the night meals for those who wish to enjoy the deep bliss of the holy shad. You may, however, do as best as you can in this matter. The next chapter is Chapter 5, Prayer. Prayer is the salt of life, and we cannot do without it. It is ingrained in the nature of man to pray for the fulfillment of his wishes, whatever these may be. More often than not, we do not know what we may really pray for, how to pray, and what we may do to make our prayer a great dynamic force, as may stir up heaven's mercy. All the religions are in agreement on the point that prayer, at the seat of the soul, wells out all the latent powers of the Godhead within, and one can achieve spiritual beatitude through it. It is a connecting link between the Creator and His creation, between God and man. It is a supporting staff in the hands of a spiritual aspirant, and a pilgrim's soul cannot do without it from the beginning to the end of the journey, for it saves one from many a pitfall on the way and transforms the mind through and through until it shines forth and begins to reflect the light of the soul. Selfless service is a tonic for the heart of the initiate, who inculcates a deep sense of loving devotion for the gracious master power. Prayer and effort go hand in hand. The former grants an impetus for righteousness, whereas the latter makes the provision for such truthful living, which is higher than truth. Regularity of meditations brings in all which is sublime and helpful for inner progress with the grace of the Master. The secret of successful prayer lies not so much in the words we use, nor in the time we devote to it, nor in the effort that we put into it, as it lies in the concentrated attention that one may give it at the seat of the soul, so as to make it soulful. The most natural form for a fruitful prayer is the yearning of a soul without the agency of words, oral or mental, with the tongue of thought. A prayer like this generates and releases such a fund of spiritual energy that all the cosmic powers are attracted and combined together, shaping out things as best as possible. A true prayer is one continuous process, independent of form, time, and place, and leads ultimately to perfect equipoise and no desire whatsoever. This, then, is the climax of a genuine prayer. And here prayer itself ceases to be a prayer and becomes a state of being, as one gradually rises first into cosmic consciousness and then into superconsciousness, with the divine will fully revealed unto him. This is the be-all and end-all of prayer. Prayer is, in a strict sense, another name for collecting the outgoing and wandering faculties of the mind at the root of the mind. Like the rays of the sun, these are spread out into the whole world, and likewise, these can be withdrawn and collected at their source. This concentration, while begging for help, is called prayer. Prayer is nothing but a concentrated will falling back upon its source, the great reservoir of power in which are lodged all sorts of possibilities, physical, mental, and spiritual, and one can draw upon any of these according to one's needs. In all trying circumstances, prayer is the last weapon in our armory. Where all human efforts fail, prayer succeeds. I am sorry for your illness. This usually comes as a result of the reaction of past karma. Prayer and gratitude grant inner peace and harmony to withstand the hazards of physical life, which is a passing phase of the soul in its long journey back to the true home of the Father. You will please appreciate that it is due to the gracious master power winding up the karmic debts, and the best way for maintaining inner stability is to be patient and resigned to the supreme will of the Father. You should try to adjust yourself to the circumstances as best as you can. True prayer, then, is the means to concentrate the wandering wits at one center, the center of the soul, to gather up the spirit currents at the still point in the body, between and behind the eyes. Herein lies all worship, all prayers, all renunciation, and all knowledge of here and hereafter. The path to salvation lies in the direct touch with the inner power, rather than to get entangled with outward things. The loving disciple is always prayerful and repentant for his or her trespasses and lapses committed consciously or unconsciously during the day. Prayer is not for outward show or gymnasium, but it is an anguished cry of the soul which stirs the divine grace, and when directed and channelized smoothly, works wonders, and the dear initiate is filled with awe-inspiring gratitude with his grace. And I'll end there. Again, that reading was from Spiritual Elixir Part 2, which is excerpts from the Master's letters to his disciples. Thank you, Master.
Thank you, Marcia, for reading Master's inspiring words to us. There were 73 participants at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Master, for bringing us together to receive your loving guidance and blessings.
Prayer, you see, with prayer you can do sightings which you cannot even dream of, you see. Where all human efforts fail, there prayer succeeds, you see.